Okay, so we're looking at Perikov Hey, Psukim Aleph Zayin, Parashas Chayitzara. And what are some of the things that are shocking you? Yeah.
Why did only Yishmael and Yitzhak bury Avram?
Why did only Yishmael and Yitzhak bury Avram? Okay, you're going straight to the end. Okay. As opposed to?
Everybody.
All the sons. Okay, all the sons. Okay, that's jumping ahead. Let's start from... From some of the first things, what?
Keturah, Belushi.
Who was Keturah? Okay, that's not really Kusha. Mm-hmm. That's not a Kusha, that's the information question.
Well, what need did Avram have to marry you?
Okay. All right, say...
Why do you need more children?
Huh? Why do you need more children?
Okay. Yeah, Yitzhak is inheritance.
So there is, you know the... I probably told this last year, no? About the Taimani...
Daniel.
You know, the Taimanim are known to have a long life. Okay? It's the. Remember this?
Yeah,
you said this all the time. I said this, right? Did it a few times?
Probably.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So the Taimani is known to have in Israel, is known to have a very. They live, have a tremendous longevity. And so this Taimani guy comes into an office for it sells life insurance. And he says, I'd like to take out life insurance, health insurance, life insurance, whatever it was, life insurance. So he said, okay, and how old are you? He says, I'm 84. He says, well, sorry, but we don't sell insurance policies to 84-year-olds. He says, what do you mean? My father was here last week, and you sold him a health policy. He says, what? Are you sure? He goes, yeah, check your records. He goes, how old's your father? He goes, 99. He says, oh my gosh. So they go, they check the policy, and sure enough, yeah, they have the guy came in.
You can pay 15?
What? Yeah, of course. Came in. So he was 99-year-old, and he sold him a policy. So he says, okay, listen, if we sold your father, I guess we can sell you. Why don't you come in next Tuesday for a physical? Pass the physical, we'll sell you the policy. He goes, next Tuesday? No, I can't make it next Tuesday. He goes, why not? He goes, my grandfather's getting married. He goes, your grandfather's getting married? He goes, why is he getting married? He says, his mother keeps on telling him, when are you going to get married? So, 137 years old, and Avram is getting married again. Why is he getting married? Okay, that's a question. We get to that. It's not as striking as I'm looking for. Yeah.
It says that Avram gave everything he had to Yitzchak, and then the next part it says he gave.
Okay, excellent. He says he gives everything, and then he gives presents to the other sons. Okay, great question. Okay, what else? What about larger, for fundamental question? Relates to the why marry again? Relates to the why marry again? Okay.
If Avram knows it is like the religion. Why do you have to marry another woman and have more kids?
Okay, it's connected to that. Why marry again? Why have more kids? He's already, his legacy is set with Yitzchak. What else?
She just passed away and you marry someone else.
Huh?
Who else is a wife? Just then, so how can you just remarry someone else?
All right. I mean, that happens. Men need wives and need someone to take care of them, but what people get married sometimes quickly. Yeah.
Rashi says it was Hagar. He was already married.
Okay, good. Hagar, okay. Arash is a Hagar. Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. What's striking about that it's Hagar? So he was already married to her, so therefore what?
When did this happen?
Before?
When did more kids come?
Took her again.
He took her again? What's the problem with that?
He had her twice. He had her.
There's a divorce.
Okay, I mean, it could be that he just took her back, but what's the problem with taking her back?
Sarah said... Send her away.
Right. Sarah sent her away, right? Sent her away. She was a bad influence. Yishmael was a bad influence. Sent her away. And now he's taking back. Yeah. Sent all the kids away. Okay. What else? Anything else? What about the fact that... So let's still looking for a few more fundamental questions, but let's just look at it inside and try to see if we can flesh it out together. Okay? Vayosef Avraham Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. What does Vayosef mean?
He added on.
He added. So very strange kind of language for marriage, right? But Yosef, he added on, very striking. Vayikach isha ushma ketura, and her name is ketura. Okay? Says Rashi, ketura zu Hagar. V'nikreis ketura al shem she'naim ma'asea kiktoret. Okay? And she's called ketura because she's like the ketoret, that her actions are good, are pleasant, like the ketoret. The ketoret gives off a pleasant sense, pleasant smell, right? And so she's like the ketoret, so they called her ketura. Yeah.
Two things. One, that gives the God all the name, and then afterwards it says, and he gave everything to Yitzchak, because it's a torture, points him out there. Like he had so many other people, and it's like, nah, Yitzchak.
Okay.
And also, something like, this is a long shot. Like, is the Ketoret have like some good, some bad when they come together? Then
that's true. That's true. That's true. We're going to get to that in the Kliyaka. Very good. But again, according to Rashi, which is the Medrash, Ketura is Hagar. Okay. What's striking about that? Okay. We mentioned that he was already married to her. It's true. He was already married to her. And she was already sent away. What?
She changed.
Oh, okay. Excellent. 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 Okay, Alex. If it's Hagar, so say Hagar. What's this ketura? Why call it ketura? His wife is Hagar, right? What happened? She went to seminary, and all of a sudden she was Mary. Now she's, you know, Miriam. Like what happened exactly? She changed her name. Spent 2 years, a year and a half somewhere. Okay. But what if she's Hagar? She's Hagar. Why is the hidingness? Now it happens to be the Rashbam, who's Rashi's grandson, who's known as a Pashtan. You have here in the sheets I gave you. Okay, says the Rashbam. Okay, you only have it's the top line here. Ein zu Hagar. Hatam ain't zuhagar. It's ketura. It's really cut off here on the top thing. Ain't zuhagar. It's not hagar. It's ketura. The fiap shot. He says the fiap shot. Ain't zuhagar. It's not hagar. That's why her name is ketura, because it's not hagar. Someone else. Another woman. Okay. The Rashbam is a pashtan. He likes to learn things simply. We don't have to go to the medrash. But according to Rashi, according to Chazal, it's hagar. The question is, if it's Hagar, why not tell us it's Hagar? So here's where the Kliyakar, okay, the top of the page here, the Kliyakar explains here. Just show, let's read it together. I know this is an old school print here. Chazar v'nasa is Hagar. He went back and remarried Hagar. V'kara ketura al shem shema'aseh na'im kiktoret, because her actions were pleasant like the ketoret. V'chein mashma lashon v'yosef. And this also explains why language is called v'yosef. He added, he went, shenasa sheni. He married her again, v'yosef. Again, he married her. V'yesh lanu litein tam, lama kara achshav ketura. Why is she called ketura? If it's really Hagar. V'od, and an additional, here's another very strong kasha. She says, Soter l'masha pirish Rashi parash vayera. Okay? If Sips was here, he'd already point out that Rashi goes against the Rashi in last week's parash vayera, because Rashi there says, Vatelach vateta, Rashi says, Shechazra l'gilalei beis avia. That Sarah saw in Nevuah that she, and that's what happened in fact, that she went to return to the idols of her father, of the house of her father. So in other words, if she was the Ovid of Avodah Zarah, how could Avram go and remarry her? She's worshipping idols. So what, she went to seminary for the year? She's worshipping idols. So what if her name's changed? She's an idol worshiper. He's going to marry an idol. It goes against everything that Avram stands for. So says the Kliyak, we're not going to read inside, but here's what he says. He says, Ella, what's the pshat? The pshat is that Sarah Imenu saw b'nevuah that she was going to go to Avodah Zarah, and Avram didn't see it, right? And Hashem says to Avram last week's parasha, listen to Sarah, that Sarah was greater to, greater than Avram in Nevuah. And in fact, she does go to Avodah Zarah, as Rashi points out, Vatelech Vateta, she returns to Avodah Zarah. However, as Mikey pointed out, she then does tshuva. She goes back to Avodah Zarah, she tries it all out, she goes and she tries everything, all the Avodah Zarah again, and realizes it's an empty life, it's not for her. It's time to get back the way Avram really has it down. That's the real life of meaning. And she does tshuva. She becomes a Balas tshuva. And Avram remarries her, the Balas tshuva, and calls her Keturah. Because, as Chesky pointed out, that she is similar to the Keturah that mixes the chalbona, gives off a reach ra, a bad smell. But when it's mixed into the Keturah, you can take something that's bad, that really gives off a bad smell, you put it in together with the other samanim, and it then gives off a pleasant, very pleasant smell. And that's what she was. She was, had ma'asim ra'im, she does tshuva, her zedonot become zechuyot, right? You do a real tshuva, so your intended deeds, evil deeds become mitzvot, and now she's like a Torah. So Avram calls her Keturah because she's a new person. It's Hagar, yes, but it's a new Hagar. Yeah, Alex.
Rashi ever said that she did tshuva?
Rashi doesn't say it. He says Ma'aseh Na'im. Her actions are pleasant, are fragrant, like the Keturah, which seems to imply that she did tshuva, right? So he's, Kleyoker is giving off, it's not a stira in Rashi. Rashi doesn't say it straight. I was quoting the Medrash, but that's how you have to fill in the gaps here. Okay, but as we pointed out, according to the Rashbam and according to Ibn Ezra, by the way, Ibn Ezra is also a Pashtan. They both say, no, it's somebody else. It's not Hagar. It's not Hagar. It's Keturah. It's somebody else. Now, what is really striking, which I thought you guys would jump on, is the next pasuk. Vatelid lo et Zimran Yakshan Midan Midyan, Yishbak, and Shuach. Okay? She has six kids. Avram is how old? 137. Give or take. Okay? 137. Right? Because he was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born, right? Yitzchak was 37 years old when they had the Akedah, so he's 137 plus. And he has six kids. Striking to anybody? The Yokshan Yalad at Shva Vet Didan, Vne Didan, Hayu Ashurim, Lutushim, Lumin, Vne Midyan, Efa Vechanov, Vavi Davel, Da'a, Kol Eilat Nekturah. Okay? So she has six kids, she has seven grandchildren, and then three great grandchildren.
Huh? Isn't that
it's not chronological.
She's giving her own toilet, so does it like everyone?
Okay. Who's the Ben Noah?
It says it by Noah also.
Right. Okay. It doesn't say, it's not about Taylor now, saying it happened earlier.
I'm saying the later that all these grandkids.
Okay, right. The grandkids are later, but Taylor, she has six kids. Anything striking about that?
Because Avram was the nation, he could have children.
Okay. Avram had Yitzhak at 100, right? And it was a miracle. And now all of a sudden, he has six more with Keturah, with Hagar.
It's a miracle for Sarah.
Okay, good. So it's a maybe only miracle for Sarah, but not miracle for Avra. Okay, she left. That, it was an absolute miracle because she had already reached menopause. She stopped menstruating. It was an impossibility for her. But still, not many 100-year-olds having children, as much as they may want. I mean. Yes, and considering the fact that this is before what?
Yemen.
Huh?
Yemen.
Before Yemen? What else is before? A certain blue little pill that men take? Okay. And he's 137. Okay? Yeah, what's that?
Also, just to show that it's not necessarily, it wasn't necessarily just miracle. She was a Nevi'im. She kept saying, she said like several times that, and Avram's old, and he's old, like right. And she's still very shocked that Hashem would do that for him also. Obviously she knew about herself, but it wasn't
right. It wasn't just that. Of course, Avram having a child at 100, it was clearly a miracle. And now he has 137. 137, he has six more. Okay? Says the Sforno. Look at the Sforno here. You have here in the page here. Says the Sforno. Vatele lo et Zimran. Says the Sforno. Gidlo otam beveto. She raised them in her house. Or in his house. Al derech chameshet b'nei. It's cut off. Asher yaldal le'adriel. Okay? Shegadlo otam shelo hayu b'nei klal. Ki amnam Avram lo ali ki emitzav Yishmael ki mevuar b'divrei ayamim. Okay, so if you've learned divrei ayamim, the divrei ayamim gives a chronology of the entire history of anyone in the Torah. It gives who gave birth to, and divrei ayamim only mentions the sons of Avram being Yitzhak and Yishmael. So these seemingly are not the sons of Avram. So what it means that she begot them? It means that she raised them. She fostered them. She adopted them. She didn't give birth to them. Avram did not father these children. Okay? She raised them, and therefore that's the pshat, says Sforno. Yeah.
That makes sense with those are sons, not everybody else.
Right. Okay? And also, what are they called? What are they called, these people? What does it say here? In Pasuk. Kol Ela B'nei Keturah. All these are the sons of Keturah. Doesn't say B'nei, why does it say the sons of Keturah? Say B'nei Avraham. Right? They're not the children of Avraham. That's what the Sforno says. Now, according to the Pshat is that they are the children of Avraham. Right? But again, there is no mention of it. By the way, the Netziv says like, Who said it wasn't a miracle. It was only a miracle. Jacob said it. It's only a miracle for Sarah, not for Yitz, for Avram. The Hamek Dover, the Tziv says actually that it wasn't a miracle. Avram's still very capable of having children, and these were his children as well. Yeah.
Right. Who was Keturah / Hagar still the mother? She was the mother of these six kids.
Of these six kids, yeah.
So then how could Avram marry or whatever, remarry or whatever it is, a woman who leaves her husband and marries someone else kind of returns to the original husband.
But he didn't.
Oh, you're saying who are these children?
No, his question is like, how can he remarry? If a man marries a woman A,
yeah,
divorce her marriage woman B, he can't go back to woman A. He didn't have the force.
These are her. According to Sforno, these are her children because she raised them, not because she gave birth to them.
So she's not the birth mother.
No, not the birth mother. According to the Hamek Dover, she is the birth mother. Okay, and the shot what? No, Chameshas is he's quoting another pasuk there. Right, according to the pasuk of an example of. Okay, so let's go a step further, guys. Let's go a step further. Pasuk vav, v'livnei hapilakshim asher la'Avraham natan Avraham matanot. Sorry, the pasuk before, ba'itin Avraham is kol asher lo liYitzchak. Avraham gives everything he has to Yitzchak. Okay, Yeshua pointed out, and then to the sons of the pilakshim. Asher Abraham, Natan Abraham Matanot. He gave them presents, and he sends them away from Yitzchak while he's still alive. Kedma el Eretz Kedem. He sends them off to the east, to the far east. Okay. Now, what does it mean? Uluvnei hapilakshim. What's the difficulty with that?
If you say that
Keturah is not Hagar, then it's only one
Pilagish.
Okay, great. So if you hold like the Rashbam, and Ibn Ezra, the Bnei Apilakshim. So then you could say there's Keturah and there's Hagar also. But then you would have to say that he brought Hagar back. Okay, which is what the Rashbam says, by the way. Ubnei Apilakshim says Rashbam, Hagar or Keturah. But then you have the difficulty, why did he take Hagar back? Okay, back to the old difficulty we had. And if it's just Keturah or Hagar, just one, why is it written as two? So Rashi says, Chaser Ksiv, Shlohaita Ela Pilega Shachat. It's written Pilakshim without a Yud. Even though it's pronounced, we read it Pilakshim, but in the Torah it's written without a Yud. Because it's really only one Pilegesh. Hi Hagar, Hi Keturah. Okay? She's a Pilegesh, but it's only one. But again, it says Pilakshim. A bit of a difficulty. But what's the very striking thing, as Shua pointed out, is what are the gifts that he's given? He had says he has everything, he gave everything to Yitzhak, and then he says he's giving gifts to the sons of the Pilakshim. So what does it mean, the Matanot? Says Rashi, what are the Matanot that he's giving? What could he possibly have left if he gave everything? Says Rashi, something very, very difficult, very striking. He says, Pirshu Rabbeinu, Shem Tum'a Masar Lehem. He gave over a name of impurity. He gave over a name of purity, and he's quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Avraham gave over a certain ability. Now, this is an idea that we find in Chazal that a person can conjure up by saying a certain name. And saying it in impurity, it gives him certain powers. Okay? There are stories that you may hear about people. And sometimes you read in a newspaper, I see this all the time, like ads are taken out in like the 5 cent Jewish Times or whatever they read in the Jewish Journal, in LA Jewish Journal in LA or whatever in Chicago, I don't know what they have there. Basically it says, Tzaddik is coming to town. And then some rabbi you never heard of before, no one's ever heard of, he comes, he's going to be staying in someone's house. Now there are some legitimate ones, but there's like some of these people are, and they have certain kochos. They have certain kochos, and it's kochos that relate to Shem Batuma. I happen to know somebody like this, who lives near me, but I won't talk too much about him. Not referring to Roy Mole. They have certain kochos, and he has. He's helped people, but he's also done crazy things. Okay, and he's able to. People have this ability. Some people can read from astrology, which is a real thing. We spoke about last year. Those of you who remember, astrology is a real thing. You can look at the stars and be able to say about certain things. And there's a whole debate amongst the Rishonim whether or not you're allowed to do something like that. The Rambam is very strongly against. Other Rishonim say you can't do such a thing. The point is that Shem Tumah Masalehem, he gave him over some type of mystical power. That's what he gave. He didn't have anything physical to give, right? That's the difficulty. He already gave everything to Yitzhak. What's left? Shem Tumah Masalehem. Now, you have here on this page here the Das Kainim Bali Atosros. Okay, I don't know if Rabbi, you could count this towards the Tosos to mark for Caleb, but this is from the Balei Tosos. They have a perish on Chumash. The Das Ken is Balei Tosos, and he quotes this: Nasan Abraham Matanos Amru Beperik Chelik Shemos Betuma Masalehem Perish Shiyu Yecholin Lahaskir Shem Hamefurash Betuma Saguf. They will have the ability to say the name, the explicit name of God, while in a defiled state of a body, v'lo yazik lehem, and it won't hurt them. V'gam hayom yesh ishmaelim shebekiyin b'shem u'maskiyun aso bituma. And there are those Arabs today that have this ability, they know how to do this, and they can say God's name, shem ha'mefurash, say in an explicit way, yud kei vav kei, or whatever the shame, that particular shame I'm talking about. They know how to do this, and they can have certain powers, even though they are not in a purified state. V'kasha la Rav Moshe, heich adam v'tzadik, Avram. Yilmad Hashem l'rishoyim. L'chein perish harav Yaakov barav Nachman shem tuma shem hashedim shem hashbiyin osan ba'adonehem hamemonim aleihem lasos kol ma'ashem rotzim. Kmo b'sefer Bilad. Says, he wants to say, how could he give over such a power to this Rishayim? So he says, you know what he gave over? He gave over some kind of magical power. That they control over the Shadim. Okay? It's like from Aladdin, right? You rub the, he knocked the what's it called? Got the genie out of the
lamp.
Bottle?
Lamp.
The lamp? Okay. And then you have certain, with it, where you can force the genie to do whatever you want. Right? You have three wishes, and one of them can't be, I want two more wishes, right? You can't, but that's basically what he gave him. He gave him, according to the Das Kain Bali HaTosos, these are Ashkenazim, okay? Not Sephardim. These are Ashkenazim saying that he gave them the ability to control over the Shadim. Shadim, you know what Shadim are?
Demons.
Okay, demons. There's some type of spiritual forces that, like what was he called, Genie, right? He like Robin Williams in Aladdin, and he was, and then has the ability to do whatever he wants. That's what he says. Gave over this mystical power. So the question that bothered Das Kain Bali HaTosos, maybe he made the question, maybe he even exacerbated the question, and that is: here's Abraham. Okay, we have not so much time left. Let's try to just to recap some of the difficulties we have here and try to now try to understand what's going on here. Abram loses his wife and he remarries. Why is he remarrying at this point? Why is he, if it's Hagar, why is he taking Hagar back in? And if it's not Hagar, why is he remarrying this woman, the Pelegesh? In other words, it's a woman below Ketubah. Okay, and he has six more children. And then he already has the children. Here's Avram. Avram, who is the one who's teaching monotheism to the entire world. And what does he do? He sends them off. Go, here, Eretz Kedem. He was fighting with Hashem when he had to send away Yishmael. Why am I doing this? He was upset about the whole thing. And now he has all these children. People potentially can come under the confe of Hashem, under the wingspan of God, so to speak. And he's sending them off to Eretz Kedem. Not only that, but he's giving them a shame tuma, according to one, or the other, he's giving them some type of magical powers that they're going to use. And by the way, there are those who want to say, that the later sources who say, that this is the beginning of the Eastern religions. The Eastern religions, Pnei Kedem, and this ability of shame tuma. The Eastern religions that all the Israelis are attracted to when they go off to Tibet and to Thailand and India, etc. The religions of that focus on meditation and spirituality. This is where it started, according to some. But what is Avram doing? How does that make sense? How does it fit into what we know about Avram? And there's a larger question here. And the larger question is: as Avram dies, how old is Avram when he dies? The next pasuk, 175. Okay. How many years more does Abram live than Sarah? 15. She was 127, right?
48.
She was 127. That's 1 second. She was 127. Abram was how many years older than her?
10.
So he's 137, 38. Okay. So for the last 38 years of Abram's life, okay? For the last 38 years of Abram's life, what does the Torah tell us about Abram?
He
finds a wife for Yitzchak, right? It's really not so much about him, it's about Eliezer Yitzchak, right? And then he remarries and has these kids. But it does tell us, like, what was his final nisaya? He had 10 nisyonos, right?
Yes.
What was the last? Kedis Yitzchak. No nisyonos for the last 38 years of his life, right? Why doesn't he have other nisyonos? Let him do other things. Well, let him. Did he bring more people into the fold? Did he spread more monotheism? The Torah doesn't tell us anything about this. It's just very striking that the last 38 years of his life, Well, we hear about this. It's a strange parsha here that's very hard to understand.
The Torah is always trying to teach us a message, obviously.
Okay.
So, to get married.
So what's the message? What is the message here of the absence of the 38 years that it's not relevant for us? So this is a question that actually was asked by Rav Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik, which is found, I think we have it somewhere in the Beis Medrash downstairs. Actually, you can find in two sources. One is the Sefer Reflections of the Rav. It's an English book, a collection of drushes and shirim that the Rav gave. Reflections of the Rav, Volume 2. Okay, where there's an essay called The Covenantal Role of Sarah. And also, in there's a paperback pamphlet called Shirei HaRav, with an essay called The Covenantal Community. It's two different versions of the same drasha that the Rav gave. And it's based on a medrash in Vayikra Rabba. Okay? It says, the pasuk says, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov v'av es brisi Yitzhak v'av es brisi Avram es kor v'arutz es kor. Right? Hashem made a covenant, a bris with, remember, it's the bris that he made with Yaakov, with Yitzhak, with Avram, and the bris with the land of Israel. Says the Medrash, Ein li ela avos imahos minayin. So only know that he made a covenant with the avos, the forefathers. Where do I know that he made a bris with the imahos? In other words, the question means that there was a covenant also with the mothers, not only with their fathers. But where is it found in the pasuk? Tamalomer S. V'zacharti S. Brisi Yaakov. Ein esim ela imahos. Diksiv Shama kavro S. Avram v'es Sara Ishto. That in the S, the three esim, etim, okay, that it says in the pasuk, it's a reference to the mothers, okay, of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, the wives of the fathers. That together with the covenant that Hashem made with the Avos is a covenant included, is a covenant with the mothers. Okay, so the Rav develops this idea that there's a covenantal role that the mothers play. Now this parsha happens to be, if you of all the parshas in the Torah, this is probably the parsha that focuses most on women. Parshas Chayisara. Okay, Sarah is a central character, obviously, even though she's sort of absent. But in her absence, this is what one of the lessons we get, as we're going to explain in a minute. And also Rivka obviously plays a very central role here in the parsha. Rachel and Leah, that whole story as well. But probably in Sefer Bereishis, there you have a focus on the avos and the imos. After Sefer Bereishis, women play a very minor role in the text itself. Behind the scenes, yes, but the text itself, we hear about Yocheved is not even called Yocheved, and Miriam not called Miriam, right? And then later on, Miriam, they play very minor roles in the leadership of the Jewish people. But in Sefer Bereishis, they play a very important role. Because they are part of the bris, a part of the covenant that Hashem made with the Jewish people, with the forefathers, the mothers are included. And what perhaps the Torah is trying to get across, and this is what the Rav explains, is that once Sarah passes away, Avram is sort of goes into retirement, so to speak. Avram's role is no longer significant. Once Yitzchak marries Rivka, okay, that's where the Torah's focus is now. It's not no longer about Avram, because Avram without Sarah is not an important story to us. Avram is important only in the context of Avram and Sarah. Whatever Avram accomplished, it's together with Sarah. That's how we're introduced to Avram. The first time the Torah mentions Avram, okay, in Parshas Noach, is that he's, right, it's in the context of being married to Sarah, right, the end of Parshas Noach, in Pasuk, Lamed Aleph, Vayikach Avram, Terach has child Avram, Halidus Avram. And it says, Vayikach Avram v'nachor lehem nashim, Sheim Eish Avram Sarai. Right? The first thing that Avram does is he marries Sarai. What do you mean? We know about Avram. He destroyed the idols, right? He destroyed the idols and he fought against Nimrod, right? All the stories that we know about, the Kivshan Eish, the Torah doesn't tell us. It's only in the Medrash. You know why? Because it was about Sarah. The Torah only tells about Avram in the context of Sarah. Because they play such a covenantal role. And here it's where it's most striking. He remarries, right? But and Chazal say it's Hagar. But you know what? The Torah hides the fact that it's Hagar. Call her Keturah. Out of respect to Sarah, who told Avram to get rid of her. So they cover over that it's Hagar. The Torah, we know Chazal tells it's Hagar, but the Torah hides the fact that out of respect to the role that Sarah plays. And not only that, but Avram has to send away these people. Avram is not an effective teacher without Sarah. And this goes one step deeper. Okay, one step deeper to understand the role of men and women. And this is an idea that's found, this is not from the Rav, this is an idea that's found in more sources like, by the way, a lot of the ideas also, we didn't do it inside, but the Maharal here in the Chidush Agados, okay, the Gemara Baba Basra, the famous Agadata and Baba Basra, if you read The Juggler and the King. Anyone read that book, The Juggler and the King? Have seen that book? It's the Gra, the Vilna Gaon's Perush on the very difficult Gemaras in the fifth parak of Baba Basra, where it has the stories that don't seem to make any sense. Okay? And you have here the story about where the Amora goes, and he goes to the Petach of Gan Eden, and he sees that Avram and Sarah, okay, Rabbi Bana, have a come at Sayin Marasa. He comes like to the entrance of the Mara, Marasa Machpela, and there he finds that Sarah is lying. Avram is lying in the lap of Sarah, and Sarah is playing with his hair. Very, very strange, striking agadata. And the Maharal explains how Avram and Sarah are, how deeply intertwined they are, how the role that they play is, and the success that Avram has is only in the context of Sarah. And so on a deeper level, Avram and Sarah represent in the purest form the ideal couple. The Maharal says that never was there a couple as close as the two, Avram and Sarah. Because, by the way, the reason being, says the Maharal, is because they represent the beginning of Klal Yisrael. They were the perfect, the ideal couple. If we're going to emerge, it's going to come from the most beautiful, perfect marriage that you can imagine. And the Medrash here, Bereishis Rabbah, okay, the Medrash you have here at the top of the page, it says, Ruya Haisa Sar Lagil Shanav Shal Avraham, that she really should have lived to the age of Avraham. That because she made a mistake by saying that Hashem, let Hashem be the judge between me and him and me, so she lost 38 years of her life. But really, they should have lived exactly the same amount. They should have died together. You know, like you hear about these couples, but like one of them die, and then like within hours, the second one dies because they're so nafsho kshura b'nafsha. Their lives are intertwined. Okay, we have to end. But just to very briefly, the step deeper is that in a husband and wife relationship, Okay? The husband is the koach of chiddush. Okay, without getting into too many details, but some of you may have learned some biology in high school, and in the context of we have concepts in the deeper sources of chomer and tsura. Chomer is material, it's raw material. Tsura is what shapes the material. Man provides the chomer in the formation of another man, and the woman is the ability to take it and form it and give it its proper shape. How you doing? So Avram has this ability to be mechadesh. We're going to start in a couple of minutes, guys, all right? We're going to start. 2 minutes, we're going to start, yeah. We're going to start. Avram has the ability to be mechadesh. But that, the koach of chiddush, is will only produce the results that we want if there's somebody who's taking that koach, that ability, and giving it its proper form, proper shape. That's the role of the imahos. And so, if Avram is just, it's just Avram, and there's no Sarah, so actually it could be actually very dangerous. The koach of chiddush, the koach of chesed even. Chesed taken to an extreme, as the Torah tells even, ki chesed hu. Chesed taken to an extreme leads to erva. That's what erva is called, chesed. Avram taken to an extreme, Avram without the ability of Sarah to sort of direct traffic, and that was the role of the imahos. We were wrapping it up. The role of the imahos was to be mevarer, to sort of discern what was the proper way. And so Sarah is the one who says we have to send away Yishmael, right? And Rivka is the one who says we have to send away Esau. That was the koach that they had. So once Sarah leaves the scene, Avram actually, even though he has children, according to the pshat, he has to send them away. It could be a destructive force. Yishmael was a destructive force because he wasn't part of Sarah. Only Yitzchak, because he was a product of Avram and Sarah, is where the future lies. And so the Bnei Keturah have to be sent away, and even given the shame tumah, even given these powers, just as long as they're not there to destroy the Jewish people, send them off to the Far East. My friends, the take-home lesson for us is that Sarah's absence tells us really so much about Sarah, about the important role of Avram and Sarah in forming the Jewish people. The important role that the woman, she's the paradigm of the Jewish mother, the Jewish wife, that only working hand in hand, Avram and Sarah together, is they're going to be success in what lies in the future. All right, there's a lot more to say. We'll have to stop here. Shkoyach, guys.